when we went in, on death row in particular, I shared my story, and there was one young man in there that just, he was restless. He got up a few times. He walked out one time, came back in, and I didn't really know his story. I wasn't sure what was going on, but I shared my story with them, and it was well received. I was just blown away by the response I got when I got done. I mean, these men went around and they became surrogates. I couldn't go sit with James, but I had these men. Every one of them told me after I shared my story how sorry they were. And they all said, because I'm James, I'm that guy. You know, I hurt you. And it was just so profound for me. Well, I was able, a few of them asked me if I could come back, and I happened to be in town the next week. And so I did go back to that circle the following week. And when I came in the circle and the men came in, the one young man, Aleem, walked in. And you could see that there was a difference about him, a light. There was, and he came in and he sat down. And he positioned himself right across from me in that circle. And when we got started, he shared that he had a letter he wrote to me and that he wanted to read it to me. And I want to go ahead and read that letter here now, because I think it speaks for itself. It says, "Dear Linda, I had no idea I would be affected by hearing your story. I guess with everything we bring with us, certain assumptions and expectations. So before I ever saw your face, I had a general expectation of what I assumed I would hear. A mother who has lost her son to an act of violence, coming to address a group of convicted murderers, coming to address me. I expected some sort of rebuke. I expected to be spit on. I expected cursing and yelling and a mountain of pent-up rage to come thundering down on my head as you describe detail by detail how some low-life scum just like me murdered your son. I expected that this type of rebuke would leave me somewhat unsympathetic, not uncaring, but incapable of feeling what you have experienced, because my sympathies have been shaped by what it's like to be on the other side of the victim-murderer relationship. Although I have always felt a deep sense of guilt for the wrongs I have done, when I felt the anger of those who I have harmed, it caused me to shut down from feeling compassion and even hindered my remorse, because I think there is a natural tendency in the face of perceived hate to hate back. However, as you described your experiences, something unexpected happened as I listened to you talk about your son, Brian. I suddenly became Brian, and I listened as if you were my mother talking about me. I could see my mother's excitement and unbridled joy as she found me laying on her couch after being away from home for 9 months. I could see her tiptoeing down the stairs, trying to be quiet and mouthing the words, 'He's here,' so as not to wake me up. I could feel my cheek move as I tried not to smile while pretending to be asleep. I can see my mom's face as she realizes I'm not really asleep. It was me taking those pictures with my mom that day and taking her to lunch and telling her I loved her at least 5 times that day. I can see my mom's joyful appreciation as I reminded her how she was beautiful. As Brian walked out of the house that day, headed to visit his friend Alex, I could see myself rubbing my palms together in anticipation of having fun with my friends, never thinking that this would be the last time my mom would see him alive." It's amazing how the mind records these details that we preserve and carry for the rest of our lives. My mother has memories as well, memories of my final days home. She too got one of those phone calls, and she cried and made noises that I'm sure no human is supposed to make. But her son is still alive, and all I could think about was, what if she was on the victim's end of the phone call and I was the one who had been murdered? I have a brother too. His name is actually Chris. How would he have reacted to my funeral? Would he go into a manic phase, and would my mother have the ability, strength, and motherly instincts left in her soul to console her other son. And all of this for what? Because of a few words, or in my case, a few lousy dollars, or some misguided principles? It tears my heart to realize that I have caused a mother to hurt like you have hurt for your son, like the mothers of Emmanuel Agayo, Donald Bryant, and Dwayne Caldwell. I thank you immensely for allowing me to hear your story. Aleem. I had no idea.